As we say around here, hello once again and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok here with the fabulous Ray Graff. A federal appeals court is considering the constitutionality of requiring large graphic photos on cigarette packs to show that smoking can harm or kill smokers. I say it's a good idea. What do you say? The three-judge panel today questioned whether the government's proposed warning crossed from factual information into anti-smoking advocacy. Tobacco companies suing to block the mandate argue it does. In February, U.S. District Court Judge Richard Leon agreed. He blocked the requirements, saying it ran afoul of the First Amendment's free speech protections. Today, we want your opinion on the labels and smoking in general. Do the labels go too far, or do you think tobacco products should be made illegal? Joining me in studio today, as I said before, is a big man, Ray Graff, who is a smoker. Ray, welcome back to the Vox Pop.
Hi, Alan. Nice to be here.
I get it. You're a little ticked off.
No, not at all. No.
You are. No. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. That's 1-800-348-2551. Every phone is going to be ringing in a minute.
Yes.
But I do want to hear from you and your voice. Let me just tell you how I feel about this. Look, you know, millions of Americans have lost their lives because of smoking. We all know somebody who that has occurred with. I'm thinking of the King's Speech. King George, remember him?
Yes.
Died of lung cancer.
All right, sir.
And he smoked and smoked and smoked. You know, it's not a healthy thing. We know it. The evidence is incontrovertible. It's an addiction. There are four phones ringing. We need one more and I'll be happy. And that'll be five. Ray Graff, what do you think this all comes down to, sir?
Well, I guess it comes down to how can the government infringe on a legal product's sale in that way. In other words, if they really want to take care of me and you and everybody, they would ban all tobacco products, and then you don't have to worry about it. But right now, it's legal. It is okay to sell it. It is okay if you're old enough to buy it. Why should they try to infringe on a company's right, in this case, right to sell a legal product?
Sure. Are you just saying this kind of stuff because, you know, you're a little ticked off about not being able to cave into, you know, this stuff?
What?
I mean, well, let me put it this way. Do you think it's a good thing for you to smoke?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
But that's a separate issue. You know,
I'm trying to save your life, Ray.
Well,
I love you, Ray.
How far can
I
the government go?
I declare my love for you.
Well, you're very kind to say that, but how far can the government go? In other words, people die in cars every day. You're going to put an image of a decapitated body on a car.
No, but we've done a lot of things with cars. We put seat belts on them and required that to be done. We put airbags on them and we make sure.
How about red wine? Am I going to see a picture of a hardened cirrhosis-racked liver on every bottle of wine?
Now, you know and I know that all of the studies have shown one drink of red wine a day will, and the Lyon studies and all the rest, will actually keep you alive longer.
Today, that's what they say.
Well, yes, that is what they say, and they do change it all the time.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is that right now, that's what they say. And that's all that science can do. Science, after all, is the art of prediction. You know that, right? I mean, you know, you put this in the test tube and that in the test tube, out this comes.
Uh-huh. I just thought it was another religion.
Science?
Yeah.
I see. Okay, now look, everybody, all five phones are ringing, so I don't want to talk to you anymore.
All right, sir.
Okay, here we go.
I'll just drink my coffee.
We'll go to Ed in Salt Point, New York. Ed, you're on.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Let's put this in a constitutional context. There are many perspectives, but let's just put it in the constitutional context, where typically what the justices are trying to do is balance the rights of individual freedom against the...
Bad connection.
Yeah, Ed, I can hardly hear you, yes, but I did hear him say balance constitutional freedom against whatever. But like they did last week with the, they can strip search any of us anywhere and do what they want. And that same 5-4 majority said that. And now these guys are going to say this is not constitutional because of the rights of the individual. Are you kidding? Ed, are you still there?
He's gone.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Ed's gone. Sorry, Ed.
All right, we'll put Ed on
we like Ed.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Jason in Spencertown. Jason in Spencertown, go.
Hello, Alan. As far as the constitutionality of this goes, I do believe that it probably runs afoul of the First Amendment. On the other hand, I don't think it should be made illegal either. I don't think anyone should smoke. I'm not a smoker. But I will say this. We shouldn't be giving the government permission to save us from ourselves. Sorry, it's just the way I feel.
I agree.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay, and Ray, I like Jason.
Yeah.
And I like you.
All right,
I'm
sir.
Trying to save you from yourself.
Okay, fair enough.
Jason, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Harriet in Woodstock. Harriet, you're on now.
Hello, Alan and Ray.
Hi.
Hi. I used to be a smoker. I used to roll my own cigarettes. I smoked for 20 years with unfiltered cigarettes, and I loved to smoke, and I quit smoking on the Great American Smokeout Day. A long time ago.
You went cold turkey?
Oh, yes.
Wow, good for you.
Well, God, so did our Selma Kaplan.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, God bless you, Harriet, because you're a hero.
Well, thanks. So here's a couple of things I wanted to say about tobacco. It was considered a sacred herb by the Native Americans. It was used in sacred ceremonies. It was, if I may say, at that time, unadulterated. The cigarettes that we smoke today are filled with over, 200-300 different types of chemicals. So the tobacco industry supports the chemical industry. People don't know how those chemicals really react with each other, with heat, with the whatever. And another thing we need to look at is I believe that the government pays subsidies to tobacco farmers. And I don't see how the government can stand up and insist upon this, the photographs and the, whatever, and continue to pay the tobacco industry. And what are they paying them for? And maybe they don't pay them anymore.
Okay, but Harriet, bottom line.
Bottom line.
Go ahead. Give us the bottom line.
What is the bottom line? Well, actually, I don't really think that there should be a mandate to show those pictures. I think people should be allowed to make their own choices. And I think that alcohol is far worse than tobacco.
Oh, so this is what I used to call the Mario Cuomo. Since somebody else does something bad, this is all right. Well, I agree with you. I think alcohol is one of the great scourges of American life. But we do know, Harry, there's no way around it, that it's not only killing Americans, but it's killing our kids, many of them. You see these kids.
True. And I think smoking around children is
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about kids, 12-year-olds, 15-year-olds who are smoking already.
But that's against the law.
And drinking.
Well, it may be against the law, but you see, when you approach the whole thing in one big sort of thrust, you knock it out. And I don't think you want your children smoking, do you, Raymond?
No, but I mean, there are laws and there is parenting and there are ways to stop that from happening.
What I hear is that the best way to stop it is not to smoke anywhere near your kids.
And that is what we do.
Yeah. Okay.
Huh. Well, yes, it's a spillover. The tobacco smoke affects children.
I want a 15-year-old who's standing on the corner smoking to have that pack of cigarettes in his hand and to see somebody's dead kidney in it. Harriet, you're terrific, and I thank you for your call. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 1-800-348-2551. And we'll go to Andrew in Germantown. Okay, Andrew in Germantown, you're on the air.
Hi, Alan. I'd just like to say that I feel that the most dangerous group of people that are addicted to tobacco in this country are the politicians that are addicted to the money that they make on the tobacco taxes. And it's conflicting to both the youth and the population of the United States when they make millions and millions and millions of dollars, which they spend, by taxing tobacco, and therefore they'll never do away with it.
That's
and they'll never treat it as the health issue that it is.
Andrew, are you a smoker?
Come on.
Yeah. Okay. So, you guys, you and Raymond, who's shaking his big long pencil at me right now.
You know what?
Are looking for any kind of rationalization that you can for not smoking.
This is absolutely correct. It's the hypocrisy. In other words, he is absolutely right. Smoking will never be banned because it's money. And
smoking
if they
will
really
be banned because we had something back in the 20s in which we banned alcohol and made an even bigger industry. And we already see that. We see that with some of the tribes selling, you know, some of the stuff, and some people making an industry out of this.
I agree with Andrew. I think it'll never be.
Of course, you agree with Andrew because you go out in front of the place and you smoke.
You know what? Now you keep making it personal again.
Yes, I am.
It's just business.
I'm just trying to do an intervention with you and Andrew.
Oh boy. Well, Andrew, of course, you're free to hang up. I have to stay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd like to add, I drove an ambulance for 3 years.
All right.
And 90% of the people we picked up smoked. Right? They were all suffering from heart disease, emphysema, and everything else.
Yep.
So, Alan, you're 100% right. But the problem is that the politicians will never come down.
No, we hear you. There's a certain amount of hypocrisy because if you think about it, let's assume that these guys just keep raising the cigarette taxes. I've thought about this, Andrew. You have a point. Keep raising the cigarette taxes. Sooner or later, if it gets so prohibitive, you'll have fewer people smoking, and therefore you won't have the tax money available to you, and you'll have to figure out something else, which is, I think, Ray, we ought to start taxing sugar big time.
Okay, but that'll be another show, and oh my gosh, we have a break coming up.
We do. Andrew, thank you for the wonderful call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Right.
Support for WAMC comes from Snow Farm, Williamsburg, Massachusetts, a New England craft program offering creative arts workshops taught by master craftspeople for adults and teens, beginners and up, snowfarm.org. The Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, featuring the exhibition Mark Adams and Beth Van Hosen, Life Observed Up Close, Lithographs and Etchings, now through June 24th, arkellmuseum.org. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Albany, New York, custom exhibits, interactive displays, and commercial casework for trade shows, events, museums, and corporate interiors, empireexhibits.com. Utica College, offering a Master of Science degree in Cybersecurity Intelligence and Forensics online, utica.edu. And Dr. Carol S. Kessler, director of the Erlin Clinic of Kingston, New York, providing screening and diagnostics for Erlin syndrome, symptoms including learning, reading, writing, and test-taking difficulties. 845-334-9340.
And here we are, back on the Vox Pop. Our special guest today, Raymond Graff, representing smokers.
Oh, man.
What?
Well,
what?
It's not about me smoking.
Who told you that?
It's about business. It's about how far the government can reach. And it's not about me. It's not about you.
As far as I'm concerned, Ray, because I love you, it's all about you.
All right. Well, fair enough.
I'm trying to save your life.
Okay.
But you're not cooperating.
No, I am not.
I love you, and I love Nicole, the children. I love you all, and I just want to make sure that you're around with us. You're one of the best things that has ever happened, ever, to WAMC.
Hmm.
And yet, there is this intervening variable.
Well, you know,
called addiction.
Right. Yes.
What? And this is an intervention right now.
Okay, well.
Okay, well, what?
Hi, everybody in Radio Land. You've just tuned in to the Radio Intervention. This is not how the show was billed.
No.
And frankly,
I fooled you. I got you here that way.
All right. Well, I don't have to stay.
Uh-oh. Okay. I need you to stay. Because I'd do very badly without you. Right?
Ah,
that's
cut it out.
Sure.
Cut it out.
Let's go to Franklin in Corinth. Franklin, you're on. Go ahead, Franklin.
Yeah, hi, Alan and Ray.
Hi.
Real quick. The obvious is that we all pay for those who smoke in one form or another through either increased insurance or through Medicaid, Medicare, we all pay for it one way or the other.
How does that work, Franklin? How does that work? I've often wondered about that. So let's say, you say we pay for them, and I hear what you're saying, all the medical interventions and everything else. But if they die earlier, right, then why are we paying for it? Because they're not around to have to take care of later on, of heart disease and things like that.
Maybe we don't for some who die earlier, and for those who die later, we might pay 10 times more for keeping them alive.
Right, right.
Whatever.
So what would you suggest we do?
What'd you say, Ray?
I would ask Franklin. I mean, where you're going with this is clearly ban tobacco, which is my point. If the government really wants to stop it and make people healthy, ban it. Stop the half halfway pretend, you know, we're gonna clamp down on a business because we don't like it. But really, we do like it.
Ray?
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Let me say something. You just made a whole statement on an assumption that I was going somewhere. I wasn't going there. What I was going to say is, if print these things, and if the truth hurts, deal with it.
What do you mean? Could carry that a little further.
Well, if we're all paying for it, and particularly the individual smoking is paying for it more than anybody, then print these pictures, let them see, and if the truth hurts, deal with it. It's like,
you mean the smoker should deal with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I want to ask you something, Ray.
Yes.
Because I think there's somewhat hypocritical about what you're saying here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So let me ask you this. If, in fact, they ban cigarettes, which you keep saying is your way out of this.
Otherwise, why stop a company from making a profit on a legal product?
Think they're going to stop making a profit?
What I'm saying is throwing these things on are going to slow. Just like raising taxes on cigarettes, you're slowing the amount of cigarettes sold. Okay, that's our goal as government. That is our goal. But if that is our goal, ban cigarettes. Cut out this nonsense.
Well, because as a sociologist in college, you must remember that there are some things that you just can't do because they don't work. If you ban it, you'll create an illegal industry. You know that. So let me ask you this. Franklin, you don't mind if I just ask Ray a question here. So what would you do, Ray, if they banned it? I mean, let's face it, you're somewhat addicted to this smoke. What would you do?
I'm sure that me and so many others, I would stop smoking. If they ban, if tobacco was banned and you had to go to black market to buy it, a lot of people would quit. So if they really want people to do that, you don't jack the taxes up. You don't slap labels that will literally petrify all sorts of people who don't smoke. You don't do that. You ban it. And they won't ever do it because, as an earlier caller said, they are addicted to the money. And that's the government.
They won't do it because it won't work. That's why they won't do it. Franklin, do you have anything else to say?
I would just say, listen, Ray, I understand your point. This obviously comes down to it's just a matter of whether we think government should be just this little tiny thing that somebody can drown in a bathtub or something that helps society in general. That's what it comes down to. I understand your point, Ray. Personally, I think print these damn things because obviously, Ray, I understand your point. You say just ban it, but if you're upset about pictures, how are you going to feel about if they ban it?
Yeah, what are you going to say about the Constitution then?
I'm upset from I'm putting myself in the place of a legitimate business owner who says, wow, suddenly the government is telling me how I can package my product. Ridiculous.
Well, listen, your legitimate business owners lied for 30 or 40 years.
That's a separate
in order
point.
To make, and, well, no, it's part of it because they made massive profits. So I think to feel sorry for these legitimate business owners, it's like, you know what, it's payback time.
All right, well, I don't know if payback time is entirely fair. Alan has obviously had too many cigarettes today because he's coughing.
No, I swallowed because I was laughing. Thank you. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. There's one free phone right now. We'll go to Patrick in New Paltz. Patrick.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have some direct experience with this stuff because I'm a hypnotist in New Paltz, and I see smokers all the time. And I have to tell you, Ray, you better quit. I get the walking dead.
No. I fully understand your point. And Alan is correct to say the addiction of tobacco is ridiculous and impossible at times to defeat. But ultimately, no one could defend smoking. It is not good for you. All right? Is what it is. Yeah. Not talking about that.
So now you change the focus from that truth, that elemental truth. We're going to save lives by doing this.
All right, the government can save lives in lots of ways. Alan, you can't go out of your house. You have to sit in a 6x6 box. It will save you. It will protect you. The government can't infringe completely on your freedom, or else why live? There's freedom of choice.
Completely. We do know that smoking kills.
We know it gives you
heart disease. We know it gives you emphysema. We know it gives you kidney disease. We know there is nothing that smoking helps. And now those people who want to continue smoking come up with all this meshugana nonsense about, that's a technical term.
Yes, I know. The FDA's.
Right. All this nonsense about, well, it's not constitutional. It's not this. I can just see Clarence Thomas intoning on that.
But don't you see it as a slippery slope?
No.
Because, for instance, I make cookies, and they're loaded with sugar. Suddenly...
Don't do that!
20 years down the road, the government says, you know what, this is terrible. People are getting
20 years? Right now.
What I'm saying is, then they'll slap...
60 Minutes did it the other night.
What's to stop them from putting a warning pictures all over your box of Oreos?
They should, for God's sakes, they should tell you not to have sugar.
Ian, I'm sorry to interrupt this high-level discourse, but... Ian Pickus just handed me the wire copy. Rick Santorum suspending his campaign for the GOP presidential nomination. This clears a path for Mitt Romney to become the nominee. A Republican close to the campaign says the former Pennsylvania senator was to make the announcement today in his home state of Pennsylvania, 2 weeks before the GOP presidential primary there. Santorum faced a tough fight. So he is suspending his campaign. He's done.
Whew. There go the smoke signals. Thank you, Patrick.
Hey, can I say something
more? You certainly can.
All right, so I'm actually against putting those pictures on those cigarette packs.
Okay.
Instead, I think they should say a big sign that says, quit smoking, save your life. Because when you show those graphic pictures, that person subconsciously picks up on that, and it would possibly increase their actually getting that disease. Because they're seeing the pictures and they're associating the disease with the smoking. Not everybody gets those diseases.
Well, it's sort of a mind-body connection, you mean, Patrick?
Right. Yeah. They should have a command, stop smoking, save your life.
Well, don't you think they've tried all of
that? That's the right thing to put on there.
Patrick, don't you think they've tried all of that on, focus groups to see which works better?
I doubt it.
Oh, no, I bet they have. Because that sounds like exactly the kind of thing that NIH would spend money on. Okay. Patrick, thank you very much. Appreciate
You're
it.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
That opens up just one free line, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Rachel in Woodstock. You know, I decided something the other day, Ray. I decided everybody lives in Woodstock.
Really?
Rachel, you live in Woodstock, right?
I really do.
But everybody else lives there, too.
There's a lot of people here. There's a lot of people who want to say they live here, even though they live on the outskirts.
Some of them live in Albany and say, I live right near Woodstock.
Yep, that's true.
But the same thing for Princeton in New Jersey. Go ahead.
But nobody will tell you there's nothing here, really.
Well, there are a couple of nice T-shirts stores.
Yeah,
and like
some,
that.
Yeah. Couple swimming holes. But
and
I feel like, I sort of feel like I might be calling in to click and clack, like I'm a perfect click and clack kind of girl, because I'm going to... pickle this conversation a little bit. I just quit smoking about almost 2 years ago. It was the best thing I ever did.
Congrats.
So happy about it. I'm for all of it. I sort of wish that they would continue increasing the price because that was a huge factor
they
in
will.
Quitting. The idea that my child or any of his friends could obtain a pack of cigarettes fairly cheaply, I'd prefer it was more expensive. And I also, I kind of agree with the hypnotist on one level that, you know, law of attraction, right? If we are constantly looking at these dying kidneys that, you know, could bring people's minds in that direction. On the other hand, are we really talking about a legitimate business?
Oh, by law, we
that
are.
That is a terrific
That's
question.
A different
kind
question.
Of.
It's
well,
a different question.
Well, listen, Raymond, you live in the United States of America.
Right.
Where we define things the way we want to define them. We know the one percenters are running the country. We know that they're the profiteers. We know that they're making money on stuff like that. And so we have to say at some point, no, this is killing our children. You will not pass.
All right. So what do you do?
You ban
it. In other words, it's until you ban it, it's legitimate, and then you have to keep your hands off it to some extent.
If you ban it, it won't work. They'll find a way of doing it. The mafia will do it. You know that it's going to.
Then it's a legitimate business.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
Well, again,
that's just
some
ridiculous.
People might say our government is a legitimate business, but the thing that I find that's so interesting about this conversation. Yeah. It reminds me of about 10, 15 years ago, yeah. a friend of mine who was a smoker, we got in a pretty large fight because she felt when they stopped allowing cigarette smoking inside of public places,
sure.
bars, that her smokers' rights were being infringed.
No, that's right. And you make a great point, Rich, and I'll tell you why. Because as people come, this is like World War II, in which Patton's army, the Soviets, and everybody else were sort of impinging on the Nazis. But they were coming from different directions. They weren't allowing you to smoke inside. You get the analogy? They were saying, we're going to put corrupted kidneys on and dead people on the front of the pack. We're going to do all this stuff. And then what kind of person, I ask you, kind of person would argue against it?
So now what you're saying is then smokers are akin to Nazis. Is that what I'm getting from this?
No, the industry is akin to the Nazis.
I see.
You tried, but it didn't exactly work.
You
tried to put me in a bad spot,
yes.
but I'd never get there.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel, you're terrific. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't believe in smokers' rights. I really don't.
Exactly.
As a longtime smoker.
Yeah. Which would you rather have? You know, the government, which is now going to worry about individual rights. You know, you got a Clarence Thomas and all those other guys up there who the other day said we can, basically explore every one of your body cavities. They didn't care about that, did they? No.
Yeah, but now all the smokers are going to rile up against, you know, having to look at pictures of the possibility of their rotten lungs.
Right. Well, you're so right, Rachel. You're a brilliant woman. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Howard in Del Mar. You live in Del Mar, don't you?
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I do. Hi, Howard.
Hi,
how are you?
Hi, Howard. Well, good afternoon, Ray. Good afternoon, Alan. How are you today?
Well.
Smoking is a systemic addiction.
Exactly right.
So you lose your sense, your olfactory senses. You lose your tasting senses.
You do.
So it is basically, you know, a very destructive situation to do. But at the same time, it's a personal decision because I believe in my heart that most people who participate in such destructive ways are suicidal in some ways. Deep inside of them, if you look at them, they all have a need to die and to die in the worst possible way.
You know, how many, what percentage of the country 50 years ago smoked cigarettes?
I think almost 100%.
Right, and so
right?
You're saying they were all suicidal?
Well, of course, they all wanted to look like with a Bogart on the screen with the cigarette.
No, but you're implying, you're saying, Howard, I have to check in with Ray here. That every smoker is suicidal. They're not.
Well,
I remember as a kid watching the old gold
yeah.
dancers.
Yeah.
And, you know, remember that was a box with some legs coming out of it?
yep.
And that was very attractive, I felt.
But, you know.
So it wasn't suicide that meant,
again, we're off topic.
Yeah, but
no,
it is. It is like, you know.
No, we're not.
I don't think that the embassy is going to kill themselves, but there's some sort of an inside subconscious thing that they want to end their life. But that's beside the point. The point is that you cannot trust the government in any way, shape, or form. People have to depend on themselves. Caveat emptor.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at what you do, what you eat, what you ingest, because everything the government says is good for you is bad for you. Look at sugar. Look at butter. Look at hamburgers. Look at all kinds of things. So if you want to make an argument based on what the government said ex cathedra, well, forget it. You lose.
Howard, thank you for checking in. You make a certain amount of sense.
I always make big amount of sense.
Well,
come on now. I
think in the end you're wrong. But what?
I am not wrong. You are the one who's wrong.
All right, you two. If I have to stop this show, cut it out.
Okay, let's go to Irene. Irene.
Oh, yeah, hi. Yes, I think the picture should be on the...
Right, Irene, you're a brilliant woman.
Thanks. And I just think that even the controversy that it stirs, whether or not it's passed or not, it is good just to have the issue being debated.
I agree with you, and that's why I love Ray so much, because he's a good sport, don't you think?
Yes, I do. And
good sport.
And
I mean, the last
yeah.
guy called him suicidal, but he's still sitting here. He didn't walk out.
Nope.
No.
What you said was true, is that it's an addiction. And I think, I don't know if Ray has tried to quit or wants to quit.
Sure. We all have.
Yeah. And, you know, there's those 12-step programs for everything else, you know.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure there's the one for the smokers, you know. And I think, you know, that the tobacco industry goes after, you know, youngsters to get them hooked.
They do.
You know, at a young age so that they will carry through, you know, profit-making, you know, through their adolescence. And so, you know, and that I think the government needs to regulate. So I'm surprised that the FDA has
Well, how about this argument, Irene, that Ray has been making all today, which is that if you want to do it, just do it the other way, which is to ban it. How do you feel about that?
Well, there's been the studies on secondhand smoke. You know, it's not, you know, smoking is not isolated by itself, you know. That's why they banned it in buildings, and because you are affecting other people when you do
it. Banning the buying of cigarettes is Ray's argument. Which I think basically is, you know, his way of saying, look, you know, I'm a smoker. And
Saying the government is hypocritical. In other words, until it is illegal to have tobacco.
Don't point pencil at me.
They have no right to infringe on a tobacco company's ability to sell its product by putting that graphic nonsense on a label.
Okay, Irene, you're terrific, and
ban
we appreciate
you
your call. Appreciate it very
much. You.
Okay, let's go. Let's go to Ed in Niskayuna. Okay, Ed, you're on.
Hey, how you doing, Alan?
Oh yeah, I was supposed to take a break here. Just hang on, we'll be right back.
Sure,
so stay there.
Sure.
All right. Let's do it.
Support
break.
For WAMC comes from Steel Engineering and Consulting, Troy, New York, addressing building problems through engineering investigations and architectural designs, steeleengineering.com. Schenectady Museum and Planetarium, announcing school break activities, hands-on science challenges, hidden power demos, and planetarium shows through Friday, April 13th. SchenectadyMuseum.org for more information. Hudson Valley Footwear, Rhinebeck, New York. Footwear for the family, including New Balance, Ameribag, and Allegria. HudsonValleyShoes.com. Elms College, Chicopee, Massachusetts, working to educate reflective, principled, and creative learners in the tradition of the Sisters of St. Joseph. Elms.edu. And Glens Falls Hospital, Big City Medicine, Hometown Care. 29 locations in the North Country and Saratoga regions. GlensFallsHospital.org.
Oh, listen to that music. I am. Are you, what is it?
It's Carter's Blues.
Oh, Carter's Blues. And what is the point of it?
It's a great song. You like it. That's
the
kind of music you like.
It might have been on topic today.
No. I put the music in last week.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, we are here. All the phones are ringing. I want to say how much I appreciate my good friend, one of the brightest men I know in the world, really, truly, Ray Graff, doing this with us. He is he's truly a great man, as you all know. Let's go to Ed in Niskayuna. Okay, Ed Niskayuna, go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Okay, I'll preface this by saying to you, Alan, that I am a diehard non-smoker. I've been against it my entire life to no end, and never even tried a cigarette in my entire life.
Yeah.
But I do have to agree with Ray on this. I don't think it's the government's point to, you know, put the pictures on there. It's called free will. People are adults, and they have the choice to smoke or not.
So you're sort of a libertarian.
Hey. No, not at all. I'm pretty conservative.
Well, libertarians are quite frequently conservative. They just don't believe that the government should mess around in our rights.
Well, you know, but that's the point. It's a free will issue that he's going to smoke whether he wants to smoke. He knows it's bad for him, and that's what's going to happen. You know, he's going to do that.
So you don't think the government
has that? I agree with Ray that they should outlaw it if they really want to stop it. There is so much. So many millions and at times billions of dollars.
But Ed,
in chemicals.
If you are sort of a libertarian type and you believe that government should, if he wants to smoke, he should smoke, then how can you endorse him that they should ban it?
Because I don't believe it's like alcohol back in the 20s. You know, as you were saying before,
mm-hmm.
that when it was illegal, people found a black market way to do it, and the same thing will happen. But they can't regulate both things. They can't have the pictures on there. And it's just like the pregnancy thing. Have you ever met anybody who was said that they didn't smoke while they were pregnant because of the ad on the side of the notice on the side, because I never have, and I've asked a million people.
Oh, I think this is going to make a huge difference. I think their focus groups probably prove it. But Ed, I appreciate your calling. It's very important.
Thanks, Ed.
And I appreciate your call. Thanks
again.
Anytime,
right.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Caroline in Saratoga Springs. Okay, Caroline, do you live on Caroline Street?
I don't, but I used to.
Okay. Caroline from Caroline Street.
Yeah, good afternoon. Hey. How are you?
Good.
I actually have a couple of points. I'm a single mother of an 8-year-old, and I strongly believe that the pictures on the side of the carton wouldn't necessarily change an established smoker's mind.
Uh-huh.
People who are addicted would go, I mean, I smoked for 5 years, and I can't say that anything on the package would necessarily have changed my mind picking up the, you know, picking up the cigarette. But
what made you stop?
I got pregnant.
Okay, fair enough. Go ahead.
So, but I do think that, my little girl, she's a sweetheart, but I do think that there's going to be a point in her life where she's sitting there faced with a choice, and anything deterring her from opening up a package of cigarettes to me is something that is worthwhile. So I don't think it's going to change their current market, but it might change the curve of future smokers, and I think that's hugely important.
Well, you know what's incredibly important about what you say? Ray just handed me some of the pictures.
Yeah.
One shows a guy who's addicted, clear warning, cigarettes are addictive, and then another one says tobacco smoke can harm your children, a beautiful little child.
There's a cadaver. That's nice.
Yeah, the cadaver. And then there's also cigarettes could cause fatal lung disease, and they show what a good lung looks like and what a corrupted lung looks like. And then they show cigarettes cause cancer, and they show you cancer of the lip, you know. That's right. And the cigarettes cause stroke and heart disease. And they show you a guy in an oxygen mask, and smoking during pregnancy can harm your baby. Oh boy. That's right. And warning, smoking can kill you, and shows you the cadaver, as you said.
So it's pretty gross overall.
Yes, it is.
And I can agree that it is. It's graphic and it's gross. But and then there's the flip side about the path we're already on with cigarettes. We've already mandated certain things on the package. The government's been controlling the cigarette package for as long as I've been alive. So what we're changing now is not what people can read or see, because we all know the dangers.
We don't all know it. We don't.
Well, I would say anybody who's smoking has a good idea of what's going on, because everybody around them, just like you're trying to say, Ray, has been telling them for years, you know, what's going on. But I just feel like it's going to change what's going to happen in the future. And Ray, I appreciate that. I don't like the government's finger in my business either, but we're already down that path. We're already changing what they can put on the package for our best interest, as the government views our best interest.
Did you hear Debbie Elliott's story today on NPR, on Morning Edition?
No, I can't say that I did.
She had this George Washington University professor, Jonathan Turley, and he said the threshold question here that the court is looking at is how far can the government go to compel commercial speech?
Right.
In other words, these are lawful products with repellent packaging. How far can the government go? And I think that's the whole point of this.
Do you see? Because I think Carolyn and I disagree with you.
All right. Well, that's not the first time.
We think that the government has an obligation to protect its citizens.
Well, I'm sorry, Ray, I don't go quite that far, but I do know that we're already down that path, and we'd have to, if we're going to follow Ray's argument to its conclusion, we have to repeal most warnings on the package. We could even argue, or one could even argue, that the picture warnings are a replacement for verbiage that an illiterate person couldn't read.
Yeah, well, you make such a good point. You remember those things, Caroline, on the television every night? You're watching Law and Order, and all of a sudden they're advertising a new drug, and at the bottom the FCC makes them say, again, Raymond, interfering with your, say, cases of people have dropped dead, people do this, do that, if they take cases are known of that. So nobody, after a while, everybody becomes immune to that. They're ignoring
it. Completely.
Just like the writing on the package right now.
Okay.
They've gotten over that. So now we have to escalate this so that people really know what they're dealing with.
I mean, there's definitely a slippery slope here, and I don't like the idea of government and business, but I do feel like we've already put some stipulations on the tobacco industry to the point where this isn't that much further of a step, and it's reaching an audience that isn't the legal purchaser necessarily, or maybe a very young purchaser, somebody that's still probably going to do it because it's cool. I can remember when I started smoking, I was 15, exactly. 16 years old. My friends were doing it. But if I had, at that point, picked up the package of cigarettes and there was more than just a warning on it, I can tell you my stomach would have turned, and I probably wouldn't have even put the first one in my mouth. So I don't feel like after a few years of smoking that anything on the package would have deterred me. I feel like it's the very first,
So you're after the kids. Yeah, and the entrance. Okay, Carolyn, thank you. We're going to want to try to get some more people in, okay? Thank you.
Have a nice afternoon.
Yeah, bye. Let's go to Andrea in Munson. Okay, you're on, Andrea.
Hi. How far are we going to take this? I mean, are we going to tell the sugar companies they have
yes.
to put pictures Thank of you. Obese people on the
yes.
packages of sugar?
Yes. Thank you for that. Thank you. Exactly my
point. Are yes. we going to let's put pictures of teenagers doing stupid things on the side of the beer packages? How far are we going to go with this?
Well, first of all, are you a smoker?
It doesn't matter.
It does not matter.
I would like you to answer my question.
Of course. Yes. Well, my answer is yes, of course. Of course.
We are turning into
a nation of diabetics. We know that. And we know why. Because of sugar. And that's tomorrow's program. No. But
free will. This is a free country. I have the choices to make that I want to make. The government should be for the police, the courts, and the military.
Would you please
not for telling me what to put in my body?
Okay, no, we know. We know. You made the point. Let me ask you this. Are you a smoker?
It doesn't matter.
Well, of course it does. Those of us who are listening can evaluate this.
If you were having this about putting, the pictures of the people on the sugar, would you ask me if I was obese?
Yeah.
Well,
I would not.
Okay, Andrea, thank you very much. Okay, let's go to Ron in Pownell, Vermont. Ron.
Hi, thank you. First of all, I would not put, they tried that in Canada and they put little film around they made a new industry. They covered up the cigarette packs so they couldn't see the picture. Okay, they've already tried it in Canada. As I'm a non-smoker. My father and mother were smokers. They died at age 63. I wish they were here today. The day they died, I cursed living daylights out of the tobacco industry. However, it brought them pleasure. They knew at the time, they knew very well because they told us children, we had five kids, that cigarette smoking was no good. This is back in the 60s. And they said, don't ever pick up a cigarette because you'll never be able to put it back down.
Hmm.
And they were right.
Okay,
and
Ron, we got four guys behind you. We only got a few minutes
thank
left.
Thank you, Ron.
Ray, good luck.
Thank okay. you, my friend.
Thanks, Ron. Let's go to Robin in Schenectady. Robin, this is the fast round, Robin.
The lightning round.
So I don't know if it matters, but I am a non-smoker.
Okay.
No, but this is how I think it comes down. Big work trucks don't have to go under emission standards. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They don't have to go through the same standards as regular cars. They cause a ton more pollution. It seems to me, again, this is backwards. I've been around smoking. My father was a chain smoker. I don't smoke. I think if they're going to put warnings on factories cause a huge amount of problems in the inner cities, obviously nuclear power plants, cars. So if they're going to put little placards and all of those things, then go after the poor smokers, because I don't smoke and many of my relatives do. So I just think it's picking on the wrong people.
Okay, Robin, thank you for
you,
that.
Thank you, Robin.
Yeah, let's go to Dar in Greenfield. Okay, Dar.
Oh, hi. Sam, actually.
Dan.
Oh, Sam.
Dan.
Yeah.
Oh, Dan.
Yeah, he just
Dan.
Didn't cross the...
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
No problem. I just wanted to make a point about the, the cigarettes. I think for a long time they've gotten pretty much a free ride with what they were required to put on the pack of cigarettes. They're not governed by the FDA. They're under their own Bureau, Firearms and Tobacco Bureau. So I guess it doesn't require them to put the actual ingredients and chemicals and everything else like the FDA requires for everything else that you would ingest in your body. So I think like a picture is basically even not as bad as seeing what the actual chemicals would be. I mean, if you can't pronounce half of the things, the pesticides and fertilizers and everything else that they put on it, I think, like, you know, especially for the young people, if they see that and be like, oh, my God, you know, what is this crap that I'm going to be inhaling?
Okay, you make a point. We're trying to get everybody in, Dan.
That's
all
a
right,
good,
thank you very much.
That's a good education campaign as well. Yeah, not a bad idea,
Eve
Dan.
Eve in Rexford. Eve, you're on.
Hi. For the record, I used to smoke. Don't do it now.
Okay.
I don't think there should be any strictures against people doing what they want for themselves. However, I definitely believe that people's behavior affects everybody, both immediately, like secondhand smoke or other things, and in the long term, because we all are responsible for each other and should be.
Mm-hmm.
That means I believe in single-payer health care. So right. What I suggest is that there be no strictures, although people should be educated, but everybody could have in their yearly checkup a little test. Are you a tobacco smoker? You know, you can chemically determine that. You can find out if a person
okay,
over,
if they are, then what happens?
Overusing sugar.
Then what
all
happens?
Those things could be part of the amount you pay for your insurance.
Interesting. Okay, Eve, thanks a lot.
Well, it is already. I mean, life insurance, for instance, if you smoke, life insurance is much more.
Jim in Palinville. Go, Jim.
I agree with you, Alan. I think we need more labeling and more education of the public on anything. In particular, I want to see photos of maimed veterans and disfigured veterans and veterans driven insane attached to all Army recruiting posters and all Army advertising.
You make a point. Thank you, Jim. Okay, let's go to... Savin. Is it Savin? Savin? Okay, we'll try that. Is it Savin? Hello?
Yes.
What is your name, please?
Savim. S-E-V-I-M.
I gotcha. Okay, go ahead, Savin.
Hi. I'm calling from Fort Plain.
Yep.
And I agree with 100% with you. It should be, pictures should be on there. Worse the better. People already smoking might not care about those pictures, but the new starters, it will help for the new starters. That's number one. Number two, nobody mentioned about the insurance.
No,
how
somebody,
about
somebody
instead
just
of
did. Yeah.
Banning the smoking, cigarette smoking, we should tell the people you have to pay for your own insurance or charge them such a high premium that they will not be able to smoke.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Savin.
You're welcome.
Okay. Let's go to Kermit in Pittsfield. Kermit, you're on.
Good afternoon, doctor. Good afternoon. I know we're short for time. I'll be very quick. So I am a former smoker after 41 years.
Oh, congratulations.
I don't say I quit, just that I've stopped. On October the 14th, 2010, my lungs stopped, and so did I with cigarettes. So, but apart from that, anybody who wants to smoke should. With regard to the packaging of the product, I followed some of the litigation and legislation in Australia where a lot of this started. One of the ways that they get around that is, and simply a very fair enterprise, a capitalistic way, stores are going to start selling containers or package holders. You won't see the pictures. The pictures are nothing. The reason why it hasn't stopped and they haven't outlawed it is because there is no effective means of withdrawal or smoking cessation available.
Hmm.
Period. Now, I am someone who tried to stop many times. And when the state told me I could have 10 days worth of nicotine patches or 5 days of lozenges, that's not enough. If you're an addict, you're an addict. I admit it. I am an addict. I have not had one in 18 months, but I'm still an addict. But there are no effective means, and the state, neither the state nor federal government support.
Okay, but what about the argument about entry, getting the kids before they get in to it?
Sure. Get to the kids before they get in. That's important. But I'm talking about the bigger picture, which is stopping it altogether.
Well, yeah, but it's something better than nothing. In other words, we want to stop those kids before they do that.
Yes, of course. I agree. But it will be covered.
Kermit,
all you have to do is slip the package into a container. You won't see the picture.
Kermit, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate
it. Thank you, doctor. Have a good afternoon.
Yeah. Okay. Very quickly, in seconds, Tom, you're last up. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll do this very quickly. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
Ray, I agree with Ray 98% of the time, but today, Ray, I got to tell you, quickly, there is a responsibility for the government to step in on matters like this, and my example is seatbelts. Who's going to disagree that children belong in seatbelts. And the government stepped in and said, everybody's going to wear a seatbelt, and it's worked out for the best. Thousands of lives have been saved. So that's my example,
you know what?
And I'll leave it at that.
Okay, well, you're going to have to leave it at that. And Raymond, you
I just
the
wish,
word.
Tom, thank you for that. And I wish we could talk about this because it's not, well, there's not enough time.
Tomorrow.
Not tomorrow, not again. Oh, no way.
All right, down the road, a few months down the road.
All right, Tom, thank you.
Okay, thank take you. Care.
Not again.
We are just about out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in and apologize to those left on the line. A huge thank you to my buddy Ray Graff, who I admire so much, who has really been the best thing that has happened to this radio station ever. Underwriting support for Vox Pop comes from HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting Neil Simon's Rumors. Weekends April 20th through May 6th in the Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org. An NBT bank offering personal banking, financial planning, commercial and business banking, nbtbank.com, member FDIC, and Green Conscious Home and Garden, Saratoga Springs, New York, offering natural and organic beds and mattresses, futons, and pillows made in the USA with cotton, wool, and natural latex, green-conscience.com. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Palmer. Engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach. Our producer is Patrick Donges. I'm Alan Chartok, and thank you all for being with us today. I got to tell you, you've made a big difference. I really enjoyed the program, and I really enjoyed your calls. Thanks. Bye-bye.